Welcome to Soul Lies, where the spiritual and the soul crosses paths. Stay tuned to learn ways to grow your spiritual understanding in order to reveal lies your soul believes. This podcast will help you learn the truth and propel you towards freedom in Christ Jesus. This is Jenny Fouts, licensed counselor in Louisiana at Christian Center Shreveport. Welcome back, everyone. This week we are talking about what it means to be overwhelmed and how do you walk righteously and faithfully through those overwhelming feelings. Yesterday we covered some scriptures. Today I want to start out though with Psalms 34, 17 through 18. The Lord is listening. So the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. He is listening. And I think that is one of the first things that when we start feeling that overwhelmed feeling, we forget He is there. He is listening. But sometimes your head is just moving so fast and your heart is moving so fast that you can't really think. You can't really hear through all of the rumblings of what's going on. And you can't quiet your soul. There is no way of quieting your soul because your soul is just in the uproar. So if you can just remember one thing, He is listening. He is there and He is listening. If you start there, then your soul will begin to take comfort in at least that knowledge because He is there and He's listening. We forget that He does hear us. You know, David cry out. How many times did David cry out? Oh Lord, hear my prayer, hear my supplication. So He is listening. Jesus, as we know His story of going to the cross, can relate to our suffering. You know, David didn't have Jesus. He didn't have the Jesus that went to the cross for us. He didn't have the Jesus who suffered. Here, Jesus left His glorious throne. Left that awesome place that we all hope to get to see soon in a good, best sort of way. Coming down here on earth as a baby, totally helpless, the God of the universe put Himself in a totally helpless situation. He had to depend totally on Mary for His care and Joseph for His safety and care. Totally. What if Joseph had been stubborn and hard-headed and said, I ain't leaving Egypt. I just got here, and I'm doing good, and I have good business. Jesus was totally left in the hands of people, of his people that He was going to eventually save into a helpless child, a baby. And those of you who've had babies or babysat, y'all know they're helpless. Although they can cry a lot, make you think about some things, but they are helpless. They depend on us totally. And as children, they depend on us to provide. Jesus, growing up as a child, had to depend on His parents to provide for Him. Of course, He knew God was providing for them, which was providing for Him. I mean, it kind of, you know, rolls down, which is the same today. It's the same today. But Jesus knows what it feels like to be totally helpless and only have God as your refuge, only Him. Jesus knows what it feels like to not be able to control a situation. You know Jesus' heart towards Peter. He didn't want Peter to deny Him three times. I mean, why would you want that? And the most poignant part to me is that moment. I don't know how in the natural how that happened, but in that moment where Peter denies Him three times and they look at each other in the eyes. They look at each other. I can't even, the depth of what Peter must have felt. I'm pretty sure that Jesus didn't want him to go through that. Jesus didn't want to go through what he was doing. He asked for the cup to pass. He asked if it is any possible way, can this cup pass? So he knows that overwhelm, that desperate feeling, going to the garden and praying and asking his disciples, hey, can you stay awake here? Be with me. They couldn't. He knows what it means to be alone. Completely alone. He knows. So the second thing, if you can remember while you're walking through the moments and the times of being alone, being overwhelmed, feeling all these emotions and having all these thoughts and just trying to process what is happening. In those moments, Jesus is listening and Jesus knows what you're feeling. He is very familiar with what you're going through and what you're feeling. So there's mercy, there's compassion for you and for the whole situation. Because you are his child. You are the one that his eye is on. You. You are the sparrow that he is watching. So take that moment of time and just acknowledge in your soul, I know you're listening and I know you're here and I know you know what this feels like. Help me. Help me. That's one of the first ways that you can walk through feeling overwhelmed. Sometimes you can turn to friends or family and they can help you for a time. They can talk with you. They can have compassion with you. They can have empathy with you. Maybe sometimes they do help. Maybe sometimes it's not such a help. Maybe there's not anything they can help. Maybe it's just a listening ear for you to be able to say this is what's going on the outside so that people are listening and hearing and you're being able to process it, especially if you are an external processor. And if you're not completely external, which is fine, you still at some point need to be able, even if you're internal, you've got to be able to say it out loud. You've got to be able to process that with somebody, a pastor, a deacon, a friend, somebody, a family member, that you can hear yourself saying whatever it is that has happened so that you can begin to process in a different way what is going on. So sometimes friends might help for the moment, but you hang up the phone call, and you're still left with this googly gobbly mess here in your hands and in your face right here. You're still left with it. Maybe you have a little bit more peace. Maybe you have godly friends that can pray for you and pray that you will be able to have the peace and the wisdom to walk through whatever situation it is. Maybe you can hear someone else with the voice on the outside that can have compassion. That can say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that this is happening. I'm so sorry. That kind of compassion can help because it reminds you Jesus too is sorry for your suffering. He is sorry that you are having to suffer. This is not his and the Father's original plan. We were in a garden where there was no suffering, which in my little brain, I can't even imagine that. Like, surely there's fire ants in the garden. You know, that would be suffering, at least. But, there was no suffering. So how do you comprehend that? I don't know that we can in this part of the world, in this part of our little 3D brain mind. But sometime, somewhere, we're going to get to the place where there is no suffering. So a lot of times, we're in those moments in we're walking through. I know for me, it helps to be able to say it out loud sometimes, be able to talk about it at times, to be able to just express my feelings one way, bad, good, ugly, whatever they are, to be able to express those kind of things. At times, it really helps me to process and to say, you know, what's going on. So somebody else can be concerned for me and be able to say, you know, I'm sorry. And in that moment, that's what you want to hear. So at times, a good friend will be able to do that and be able to be Jesus's hands and feet and voice, since Jesus is not like right here appearing in front of you in fleshly form. It does help, but you can't stay there, because when you get off the phone and the nighttime comes, you are once again alone with your mess, alone with you and Jesus. And only he knows exactly what you're feeling. Only he knows your heart well enough to know what path you're going to take through this, what path you need to take through this. Only he knows all those things. No friend can tell you all those things that you need to know. And Jesus speaks in a bazillion ways. Sometimes he does speak through friends. I've had that too, where he speaks through friends, because your head and your heart are just so conflicted and so unable to process. Can't even sit down and read scripture because you can't process for a moment what you're reading. Sometimes they can. And if you're a good friend or you know someone who's walking through something like that, be that friend that can just listen and hear and have compassion and can have mercy. If Jesus gives you wisdom, share the wisdom. But make sure there's no judgment. Because as people walk through these things, judgment is easy to come to. And as we walk through those things, we can put our own selves under judgment about what we think should or shouldn't happen. You have a child that's in jail, what should or shouldn't happen? Or your friend's child is in jail and what you think they should or shouldn't do? We should not think of ourselves so presumptuously that we know all of the ins and outs of someone's heart, of how Jesus needs to talk to them. How you walk through this with a friend, how you walk through this with yourself, your family, as I said before, will depend on the relationship that you have before the crisis hits. What happens? I want to leave you with a scripture that you have heard a bazillion times, right? In Psalms 23, he restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. He wants you to walk through whatever you're going through with righteousness, because it does glorify him. In our love for him, we want him to be glorified in every single place, every single turn, in our love and our devotion for him. So remember this, take a deep breath. He's listening, he hears you, and he can relate to you. You are not alone. Don't let demons lie to you, because they will. We'll talk more about this later on in the week. I'm so glad that you guys are here. I hope that you are enjoying this and getting something out of this. Thank you. Have a good day. Soul Lives is meant for information only. It is not a substitute for counseling.